So if you'll turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, be reading verses 1 to 19. And actually, the previous verse I had from the last verse from chapter 1 really describes it. But if you'll join with me, please, in standing and for the reading of the word, to honor God's word. We'll begin with chapter 2, verse 1, 2 Peter. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sin, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanliness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and they will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey, speaking with a man's voice, restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and our heart hurts and cries out of hearing the false teaching that's coming amongst us, Lord, that's coming into the world. You prophesied that it would. You said that it would come, and it's coming. And we hear false promises. We hear people speaking other gospels, other teachings, and not just from other religions, but within the church. Those claiming to be Christ's followers, but are truly deceivers. And we just pray and ask your blessings upon us this morning, that we would seek your truth, your word that sets us free. And let us be aware of the false teachings and trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you get your outline with the notes, that's what we're going to look at. Some attributes, 20 attributes of false teachers, so that we can become aware what's happening. And as I said, the last verse of the first chapter really speaks to what we need to focus on after we identify the false prophets and see these and not be deceived. We need to know that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's how we can tell and what we need to follow. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So when you see the word "but" that Peter uses in the first verse, the first word in chapter 2, that's what it's referring back to. But there were also false prophets among the people, even when God's prophets were speaking by the Holy Spirit. There were false prophets among them. And then, of course, he tells us about one in the chapter, you know, the son of Beor, who hired himself out for the highest bidder, even against the children of Israel. But God didn't let that happen, because he talked to the prophet. God did. Through the donkey. So you see, God gets his word out. And we're not to be deceived. So you see these. So if you have your notes. And the first one, found from chapter 2, verse 1. They infiltrate the church. They come among us. And they're teaching. Then in number 2, they come in secret. Jesus describing wolves in sheep clothing. They look like sheep, they smell like sheep, they share the gospel. Just a false one. So then number 3, They deny the work of Jesus. They're saying, no, 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 no. This is what you do. You come to know the Lord, but you got to do this. A lot of religions doing that. A lot of Christian religions are doing that. Christ's work on the cross is not alone enough. Isn't efficient. Won't do it all. You've got to do something. Or you have to do something to keep it. But it's grace alone in Christ, as we know. So also in verse 2, number 4, they blaspheme the truth. They twist it around. It sounds almost good. It sounds almost right, but it's not. So again, blaspheming, denying the work of the Holy Spirit. And then as we saw, number 5, the Balaam, or the son of Beor, they're greedy. And we hear a lot of the prosperity gospel today. And when you look at some of them and you hear what they're doing, and then you see what their bank accounts look like. Greed. Again, it's not judging. It's not, my personal whatever against any one preacher or deceiver, but it's God's word. And Peter is saying, we need to be aware. They're coming in. We've got to protect ourselves. So they use words that sound remarkably close to the truth. So you have 6, 7, through 15, I think, or 16, filled in. Didn't want you to get writer's cramp with all 20. But I thought I did it every other 5, but I see in your bulletin I missed that. So you are going to write a little bit. But they use words that sound remarkably close to the truth. They follow the flesh, number 7. So they're not following the Holy Spirit. They're following their own wills. They do not want to be under anyone's authority. And even for teachers, pastors, missionaries, I know every time I'm with, get a chance, when we're with Paul and Patty Ellis, and we took an 11-week course with them and met with them for a couple of days for 11 weeks last year before they moved to Cebu. And when Brother Paul and I would have time together, that's what we pray about. We ask about each other, accountability. Pastor Dave and I try to Skype every week. And he'll tell you, when it goes 2 or 3 weeks and we don't Skype, oh my, man, I'm just waiting and I unload on him, yeah. But it's the hardest because you're leading and you get so busy doing the ministry. And that's why I say, please pray for Pastor JR. Because you get so busy in the activities, you got to have your own devotions. You got to be, and someone saying to you, how are you doing? Are you praying? How's your devotion time? How's your personal time? Not just preparing the messages. And so you it's easy to do, and your ego gets in the way, and your flesh begins to take over, and you begin running and running and running. And I know there was like 2 or 3 weeks before we left, I had planned out, Pastor J.R. and I are going to spend at least 3 whole days together each week before we leave, so we can pray, and I can encourage him, and he can pray for me. Well, our schedules, he was busy, I was busy. It didn't come about. We got some time together, but I was trying to do it in the flesh. And that's what I finally realized, you know. And we've got to be able to do that. And so have the time to speak and pray together. So these prophets, these false prophets, that's all they do. Because they're not following the Lord. And then number eight, they are presumptuous and self-willed. Again, they stir up themselves. They try to psych themselves up. And no affliction on Michael or Jeremy, coaches. Sometimes that's what you do with your team. Come on, you know, let's go. You know, and you try to psych them up and to focus on the game. Focus on what you're supposed to do. You know. And we do that. You know. Pastors do that to one another. Pastors do that. You should see us at the Love Luncheon. We're there for prayer. But everybody wants to talk to everybody. And then, oh, yeah, we're here for prayer. Let's start the program, you know. Because we do that. We get encouraged by the word, you know. But again, when we do it in the spirit. But if we self-will it, you know, it gets hard. So they do not want to be under anyone's authority. And that's it. If you start to say something, you know, well, don't judge me, you know, who are you, you know. So no one's authority. Then they exhibit peace on the outside, but are like untamed beast on the inside. See, again, the appearance of doing right, the appearance of being a Christ follower, but like a wild beast, untamed inside. They speak more evil than good, Peter says. And they are ignorant. That's why they speak more evil than good. Because they're not filling themselves with the Word of God. And then they love to deceive others. They're motivated by that. They prey on unstable new believers, number 14. And they intentionally speak lies. And then number 16, they are out for monetary gain. Again, the greed. They talk a lot, but they say nothing. Empty words, hot air. Just coming out. And how can we know? Because we discern by the Holy Spirit. We look to the Scripture. Are they presenting the Word? And then they make these big, grandiose promises, but can never deliver. And again, I'm thinking of the prosperity guys, you know. Hey, if you'll send in this donation, and get this special whatever it is that we brought back from the Holy Land. If you'll do this, God will shower you with your heart's desire. You'll be blessed tremendously. Are they God? No. And when those promises don't happen, you've been deceived. Because they make promises. Only God is true in every one of his promises. As a father, you know, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount talked about this in Matthew chapter 7, you know, who as a father you would, you know, give your child when they, you know, something that you would give them a stone when, you know, instead of a fish, or, you know. But as a father, that's the hardest thing I ever had to do, because I make a promise and had to break it. And when you have to look your children in the eye and say, I'm sorry, I'm breaking this promise, I'll make it up to you, I'll do this, I'll do that. But God, our Heavenly Father, never, never, ever breaks a promise. And in chapter 1, if you'll read all of that, he talks about prophecies, and he's talking about the Word of God and the promise and what's to come. And we, you know, he did these things. He talks about Noah. He talks about Lot. He talks about, you know, what we've seen here. The promises he made Abraham. You know, God kept his word, and he will keep his word. So when he says that he's coming again, when he says that we can look to him and not be deceived, we know that we can trust him. So they use alluring thoughts to provoke attention from their audience. They make promises they can never deliver. Again, promises. But those are the attributes of them. But where we need to be, and I am speaking to myself, I was convicted by reading these and going through this chapter verse by verse and looking and seeing, Lord, it's coming true. John says it, there'll be false prophets. Jesus said it. Paul warns in his letters, there'll be the false teachers coming. And coming, and even the elect, if it possible, would be deceived and fall. But only by following the Holy Spirit, by checking and reading your word daily and applying it to your life, having God speak to you and leading you day by day, then you won't be deceived. So that's my challenge to you this morning. That was the challenge that I am taking. Be in the Word more and more, so that we're prepared when the false teachers come in. It's not if they will come in, it's when they come in. And I praise the Lord for Pastor Dave and the elders and Michael, that when someone stands in this pulpit, that we're known, and we will be known, that we teach the Word, and the Word only. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for each one who is here in the sound of my voice, but the sound of your Word, that you speak to us, and that we will follow you and truly be your witnesses and truly be your disciples of seeing more people come to know you as Savior and to share what you've done for them. And that's all that you ask us to do. And the various volunteers that we have, and the various gifts that you give to us, but all of us can say, when we know you, we can say, yes, it's by the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood alone that I'm a child of God. We can share that with our friends, our family, on Facebook, on just wherever. And we just ask you to continue to bless all of us, that we look to you and you alone. In Jesus' name, amen.